Good morning, everyone, and again, it's a joy for me to welcome you to our service today. And we're going to be thinking today about God's glory. And our opening hymn expresses our praise and our rejoicing as we see and experience the glory of our God. Well, it's good to hear from you, from those who have been in contact. I've heard this week from Simon and Bev, from Salim, from Peter and Kath, and Martin and Kate, and Peter, and from Graham. And all are well, and Pauline and I are well. What a wonderful line in that to him. One of my very favourite lines in all of the hymns that we sing, the vilest offender, whoever that is worldwide, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment, that very moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And so we do indeed praise the Lord. Well, let's turn now to our Bibles and we're going to listen as Simon and Bev read verses to us this week. I think that they will be telling us where it's from, but just in case they don't, it's 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning at verse 7.
Today's reading is taken from 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 to 31. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell all of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant for ever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but a few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendour and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
So thank you, Simon and Bev, for that reading. And I want us to think today about the truth that our God is glorious, that he is the God of glory. What do we mean when we speak of God's glory? Well, I suppose the very simplest way of understanding it is to say that God's glory is all that he is in character. We've looked at some of these aspects of his character. All that he is in character made visible so that we can see. When the Old Testament speaks of King Solomon's glory, what it does is lists all his attributes, all the things that people can see about Solomon, his riches, his power, his great wisdom, his treasure, his wonderful, glorious palace, all his many, many servants, the splendour of his royal throne, the massive fleet of ships that he owned, and all those kind of things. As people saw them, that was what was the glory of Solomon. The outward splendour of Solomon was all that he put on display to show just how great he was. And so God's glory is all that he is and all that he's done. All that we can see to make his greatness and his goodness known. And so, having established that, can I now remind us that everything that God does, he does for his glory. Yeah, just think of the whole of creation. We read that the whole of creation is all for his glory. The Bible says, the heavens declare what? Well, they declare the glory of God. The earth is full of what? Well, the Bible says that the earth is full of God's glory. And then think of another thing, think of salvation. The whole plan and work of salvation is for the praise and the glory of God. The church, God's people, are for the glory of his name. How Christians live their lives should be for God's glory. So Jesus taught, let your light shine so that people will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Everything is for God's glory. And it comes as quite a shock for most of us to realise that everything is not primarily all about us. Life is and should be all about God, to declare his glory. God doesn't want us simply to learn truths about his character. He has expressed his character. So, from the Bible we learn of his almighty power. Many, many places that we can turn to learn of God's almighty power, but it's only as he acts in power that we can see it and glorify him. God is good, but what is goodness if it never does anything good? All creation then is an expression of his glory. And of course the pinnacle of creation is God making people so that people, you and I, the people everywhere, would see his glory and respond in worship and awe and praise. But not just to see it, God made us to reflect his character, to reflect his wisdom, his love, his joy, his faithfulness, his kindness. And so God made people in his image. We're not gods, of course, but we are made with the capacity to reflect God's character aspects. And so, having brought that truth about God, that everything in life is primarily about God and his glory, maybe that we have that sneaking feeling, well, isn't that just a bit off-putting about God? Isn't it a little bit selfish to make everything for yourself? Everything to honour your name? If I acted like that, it would be wrong. So why is it okay? Why is it right for God to have everything for himself? And the answer is very simple, of course. If we made ourselves the centre of life, then of course there are millions, billions of other people who are at least as important as me. But God is not one of many others. God is the only God. God is the only best. So if God desires us to love the only God, if God desires us to know and have the best, then he must desire us to love and worship himself. And because of that, God made everything for his glory, so that we can see it all and marvel and admire the glory of God. I don't know whether this is just me, but I've thought at times Why did God create a universe so vast when his focus is upon the tiny little planet Earth? Why all the rest? Well, would just a tiny little universe declare the glory of God? God made the vastness of the universe so that people could see his glory and be filled with wonder and awe. It all declares the glory of our God. And you know the essence of sin, the essence of our rebellion from God, is that instead of everything in life bringing glory to God, we close our minds to it. We refuse to acknowledge the greatness, the glory of God, and we get all wrapped up in ourselves and our own lives and our own plans and our own pleasures, as though we were God. And we forget that all good gifts around us, sent from heaven above, the beauty of the creation, the seasons. Oh, incidentally, just to encourage you, tomorrow is when the nights start drawing in again as we prepare for autumn and winter. I thought I'd just mention that to you. But all the good gifts that God gives of food, of human love, of friendship, of family, everything, we take it all from his hand and so easily ignore him and live without a word of thanks, live without a thought of it all, live without thinking of him and thanking him and praising him. And times like this pandemic shake us again, when all that we have lived for, the shopping, the family, the meeting together, being at church, our jobs, that career path, money, the holidays, our health, all gone in an instant. All the plans of our politicians sunk. The scientists who with their advances placard a better world for all. Medicine that held out cures for all ills. All brought down. And surely God in his grace is saying to a world filled with self and confidence and a complete rejection of him, surely God is saying and reminding this world once again that everything, everything is from my hand and is for my glory. And so seek me, find me before it is too late. And in the new creation, when Jesus returns and makes a new heaven and a new earth all combined together, the thing that will occupy Christians who will be there is the glory of God for all eternity. We will be just amazed that we are there, there with our Christian loved ones. And the focus of God's glory in it all is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. If you want to see the glory of God, look at the Lord Jesus. And the glory of God is seen at its highest when he saves rebellious, wicked, deep-dyed sinners and makes them his own. Changes them into new people, now with a heart for him. So let your light shine so that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So may that truth, that very simple presentation of that truth, inspire us to live, to glorify our loving Father, our lovely Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Amen. And so now our prayer. Father God, we do worship you this morning, that in these last days you declare your glory. Help us so to live that we honour you in all we do and think, and that our lives might be lived to the praise of our Saviour, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, next time, I plan to close this Our God series. I never thought it would go on, that I would still be doing this, but I think we'll make this next time the last one. And I think I'll close by looking at the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our God is one God in three persons. And I might confess to you a mistake I made. And I might not, I don't know. Three people got the answer to last week's question correct, which of course was that 2 John is the shortest book in the Bible. I've had a comment or two saying these questions are too easy. Maybe a little more difficult one today. Don't go Googling. You can easily get the answer by Googling any of these, but use your Bible, see if you can find the answer in the Bible. The question is, what Jewish tribe was Paul from? What Jewish tribe was Paul from? And just a clue to save you some time, the answer is not to be found in the book of Acts. So that's a clue for you. And now let's close this by listening or joining in with that great hymn that speaks of God's glory in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.